Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, and welcome to Dwell, a Circe Institute podcast for homeschool moms by homeschool moms, grandmoms, as we like to say. My name is Karen Kern, and I'm here today with my co-host, Renee Mathis. Hi, Renee.
Hey, Karen, how are you?
Good, I'm good. It's kind of a gloomy gray day here. What's it like there?
I was just going to say, it is a lovely sunny day. We are so thankful to have some sunshine after a lot of rain. So, yeah, it's still not... Well, we still have our swamp in the backyard, but yeah, it's good.
I got pictures from family in Iowa and Wisconsin of their snow, which I'm jealous of. But here we are in February, gray day. But it's getting warmer out. Spring's coming.
That's good.
So we're here today to talk about raising daughters. We did a podcast on raising boys a few months ago, although it's probably longer ago than that. I just don't remember. But today we're going to talk about raising girls. And I'm actually a little bit nervous about talking about this because we only have 30 minutes to do it. And then it's a big topic, but also because it's complicated. Because raising girls is complicated. So Renee, that's how I found raising girls different than boys, but what do you think? How is raising girls different than boys in your experience?
Oh, that's a good question. And I'm going to back up for just a second. And yes, there's a lot to talk about in 30 minutes. So listeners, help. If you have anything that you want us to go into more detail on, let us know. Send us an email, comment on our Facebook group or something and say, hey, you know, because we really are. We're always happy to have input and try to, you know, meet you where you are and to talk about what you want to talk about.
Good point.
How are girls different than boys? So I guess we should clarify. I have three daughters and you have?
Two daughters.
Two daughters. And I have, let me count, three granddaughters.
Oh, yeah. I have five granddaughters.
Yeah. So between us, we've been through this a little bit.
And it's really fun stepping back and watching the little girls, maybe because I've forgotten over the years some of the things, and it's just delightful to see it in fresh eyes and to love them so very much. And to see how they are just like their mothers. Or
exactly.
Their aunts. Like all of it is so much joy. And I think maybe I look back then with rose-colored glasses, so I don't always remember the hard things about raising girls.
Yeah. I mean, there were hard things. But on the other hand, when you talk about raising girls and boys, and I think of little girls, I thought girls were easy.
Little girls
when
are
they're,
easy.
When they're little, they... You know, they're just quiet and they play inside and they want to help you in the kitchen and they want to help you fold laundry and they're always very sweet and helpful. And I mean, that's a lot of what I remember about when the girls were little. Now, you know, it's funny to watch, like you said, grandchildren, because my mother always says, and I think she got this from her mother, you never pay for your raising until you have children of your own. And so when I see my daughter's daughter doing something, and this is the little almost 3-year-old that Katie refers to as the chaos toddler. Maybe she wouldn't say that Georgie Lynn is easy. Oh my goodness. You know, this is, half the time Georgie Lynn isn't wearing pants and has caused some disaster somewhere in the house with either flour, nail polish remover, or markers. And, but, you know, she is pretty cute. It's a good thing she is so cute, I guess.
That's true.
She's fun. What are your granddaughters like? What do you notice?
I noticed that they really enjoy playing quietly. They can play with little dolls and things. They can get the Legos out and play. They can take the chess pieces and set them up somehow to resemble a house. You know, they can play with the Beanie Babies, and they can play really quietly. And even if they're all here together, they can play quietly together with the Beanie Babies. And then when Lucas walks in, who's 6, he gets them as, you know, the Beanie Babies are flying through the air as projectiles, and the girls are now jumping off the couch, catching them at his, suggestion. So it all changes when you introduce a boy. But when they're all on their own, they tend to be very quiet, and they can color. You know, they run around the house and can squeal.
Right.
They can be loud sometimes, but predominantly, I would say, they're pretty laid back, quiet.
Mm-hmm. And then all that changes when they hit the preteen years. And then we go, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with them?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, then you have the whole girl drama thing, right?
Yeah. Well, and we do have a granddaughter who's 13, and I am just enjoying watching my son parent her. And of course, her mother, but it's delightful to watch Matt parenting her, because it shows me how important that father-daughter relationship is, and how well he treats her and how well they get along, you know, and he does have to discipline her. It's tricky.
Right. But, you know, and I think a lot of the origin and the whole girl drama thing, a lot of it is around friendships, right? Am I going to be liked? Am I going to be included? Or am I going to be the one left out? You know, do I get invited to the birthday party or not? And, or did someone look at me funny at church and now I'm sure everybody hates me?
Yeah, that's not so young. Like, I've heard Serafina say that she's 4. Oh, you know, how was the party or how was your co-op today? And the first thing she says is, well, so-and-so didn't want to sit with me, or I sat with so-and-so. You know, it's a relationship. Like, it's most of the time, her evaluation of an event has to do with relationships.
And that's the way girls are wired, right? That's how they are.
Yeah.
So it's so nice to have a dad who can step in and say, you know what, honey, you are loved. I think you're wonderful. I think you're special. And, you know, just to remind them, they have that father that thinks that, you know, she hung the moon, and that they can count on that when the world is a little squirrely and crazy, that dad is there. And I love that when, you know, my girls were going through some things, that there were times when I, you know, would look at my husband and I'm like, if I have to talk to this child, I'm probably going to, you know, scream or say something I'll regret. Would you please go upstairs and deal with her? And they can. And they're just like calm and quiet. And the next thing you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I had the same experience. And you're talking to the girls, and then when he comes down and says, yeah, we just talked. She just talked and I listened. And everything's fine. They're like, oh, wow, good for you. And I was always very thankful for those times. And, you know, when I think back to the relationship that I had with my dad, I'm just really, really thankful that there was nothing that I could ever do that I knew would make him not love me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even more than that, I knew that I was in some way like a princess in his eyes. And my brothers would say that, your dad's princess. And I'm like, yeah, I am. But like, still. And he died in 1999. So it's been a long time since I've had him in my life. But there's still some kind of security deep down inside that I carry with me because I knew how special I was to him.
Right.
You know, like, and that's, you know, that's such a bigger picture of how you relate to even to God the Father, that whole image. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, you, a girl who has a good relationship with her father, can have a good relationship with her husband because of that. Mm-hmm. Like it's just so far reaching in her life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really thankful that I had that and that my girls had that.
Right. And I think, you know, it's easy to look back when raising girls or boys and think, oh, you know, I wish I had done this differently. I wish I'd done that differently. And then to be honest, there's a lot of gray areas where I'm thinking, I don't know what I did, but somehow we managed to get through it. We're still talking to each other. We still love each other, for which I'm so thankful. I mean, my girls and I, you know, we talked about this before we started recording, and they're not my best friends, and I don't want them to be my best friends. That's not our relationship. We have a special relationship that's not best friends. And especially, you know, once they get married and they're off on their own, they don't need to be calling mom about everything, right? I'm not the source of all the advice, and they need to be respecting their husbands and turning to him for advice and counsel, not me. And so it's good that, like, yeah, I don't know how it happened. I praise God and his grace and mercy but we do love each other. We're still talking to each other.
In some way, you know, you're a rock in their life. And I feel like me too for my daughters, like something bad happens, I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can get, you know, from a trivial thing like a text. So my fridge is broken. Oh, you know, to a picture of the girls outside playing, to something really big.
Right.
And I Larissa's in a really good place right now, thanks be to God. And she's very happily married, but she went through a really, really hard time and she had to come home. And I'm thankful that our relationship was such that we could just welcome her home and just enjoy her being here all the months that she was here.
Mm-hmm. And what a blessing for her that she knew she could come home and that she had a place, right? And God used that for healing and restoration and to prepare her for the next thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So that mother-daughter relationship never stops being important.
No.
And I think all the work that you put into it while they're growing up pays off.
Mm-hmm.
And in your relationship with your grown daughter and in watching them parent your granddaughters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The cycle of life is so poignant.
Right.
Especially when you see your daughter in your granddaughter or their aunt, you know, mm-hmm. and you see the bloodline. Somebody has a mannerism or a look or just looks like, you know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, man, it's just such a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to refer back to a couple of podcasts ago. I found it really helpful. And so if y'all haven't listened to this one, when we had Josh Krebs on talking about homeschooling kids and preparing them for college, he ended up just having some really good parenting advice, I thought.
Yeah, that was really good.
Just aside from, you know, academics or how to handle living in a dorm, but just things like, you know, allowing them to experience their emotions, to help them understand they're not crazy for having these emotions. There's nothing wrong with them, but we are responsible for how we react and act in spite of those emotions sometimes. So, and I think that's a lot of parenting girls is naming what they're feeling, what's going on, helping them to sort through what's acceptable and what's not. I mean, yes, it's understandable that you feel hurt when someone didn't sit with you at the party or at church, but okay. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to do with that? How are we going to move on? And let's talk about that. And how are you going to learn to deal with it? Cause it's probably going to happen again. Right. Yeah. We know. Unfortunately.
Right. And how to respond with it, with kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that nobody ever says that of you,
mm-hmm.
you know, teaching them that empathy in the hard thing that they suffer,
mm-hmm.
helping them to see that they can help other people.
Mm-hmm.
And a long time ago, somebody gave me the image of a roller coaster. So you can acknowledge the hard thing, whatever hard thing is causing your daughter to get on the roller coaster. You say, yeah, that's really hard. And then you can talk about it. But it's really important that mom doesn't get on the roller coaster. Because, I mean, that, you know, for one thing, to change the metaphor a little bit, it can escalate. Like if they're upset and then you're upset and then they're upset, like you need to, if don't let it escalate. If you get on the roller coaster, it's more likely to do that. But, you know, to say you're on inside, you know, might not even say it to them. You don't want to belittle it by saying, oh, you're just on a roller coaster. But if you say to yourself, my daughter's on a roller coaster, it's because of her hormones. It's because she's 16. It's because she's weeping and wailing and she's 10, you know, whatever stage it's in. She's having a really hard time at college or whatever. You can say she's on a roller coaster, but I'm not going to go there with her in my own emotions. I'm not going to take on my daughter's emotions.
Right.
And I think that's the temptation, because we feel, I think this is one of the differences between mothers and daughters and mothers and sons. With mothers and daughters, you take on their emotion so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to, in some way you can, recognize that in them and help them, but don't take it on yourself.
Right. As the saying goes, someone has to be the grown-up, right? Someone has to be the one who's calm and that rock that you spoke about that we need to be able to. And, you know, don't even think about the whole, then you get the other moms involved and before you know it.
Right. It can't fix. Yes.
let's try to keep it de-escalated as much as possible. And, you know, help them learn how to see through it and to sort through it. And, I forget where I heard this, honestly, but it's something about kids in school. And now we're homeschoolers, but, you know, our kids had plenty of opportunities to be in groups with other kids. And this person said, think about the other people as your coworkers, not necessarily your best friends, right? You don't have to be best friends with all of them, but you do have to treat them politely and respectfully and the way you would want to be treated, of course. But, you know, you don't have to go in there with this idea that, you know, I'm going to get offended if someone doesn't treat me like their best friend, because you're not their best friend. And you know, the way kids are wired differently. Some girls are going to have lots of friends and always have, you know, and there are some that will have one good friend their whole high school.
In a family, you can have sisters who are, one's one person and one's the other. You know, I remember one of my girls had a birthday party. And the other one, well, the one who had the birthday party was crying. I said, what's wrong? And she said, all my friends are talking to my sister. So, but like it's the personalities. Like you can have two sisters like that. And then you're navigating sister drama sometimes if they're close in age like that. But to just acknowledge, well, you know, that's true. But just get in there and talk with them. Like don't overreact to this. Just get back in there and have fun.
That's good advice. Know? Yeah. Yeah.
And the other thing I think is to tell them to just sit with things. So if they're really upset after being with their friends or somebody's hurt their feelings or, you know, even a brother has hurt, something's gone wrong, to just don't react. Don't send, in these days, I would say, don't send that text, you know, don't respond. Just sit with it for a day, sit with it till tomorrow. And then in a clear headed way, cause I don't, you know, I'm not parenting girls anymore with the issues that I'm sure they have now over social media.
That's got to be hard.
There was very little social media when my girls were growing up. Like I think Facebook came in to maybe when they're in late high school or college. But can you imagine now, like girls who are 13 having phones and texting people and group texts and people getting their feelings hurt?
And all the comparisons with all the other pictures out there and what everyone else is doing.
Like, you know, just that's hard navigating. But,
you know, let's put in a voice for a call for, what's the word? I'll think of it. We talk about classical education being the cultivation of wisdom and virtue, and we want wise daughters and we want virtuous daughters. And thankfully those virtues still have the same names that they did 2000 years ago. You know, we want them to be just and prudent and, you know, self-controlled and all of those things. And you can learn to be self-controlled with your phone as much as you can learn to be self-controlled, I guess, back in ancient Greece when you wanted to slug your brother with a watering jar or something, you know.
Right.
Virtue is virtue. And so, you know, we want that. And we can talk about what that looks like. You know, do I let my appetites take over? Do I let my desire for inclusion and affirmation and take over? And will I do anything for that? Or will I be willing to stand up and be who I am and say no? So,
yeah. Yeah, there's a lot. And I do think there's a lot more temptations, you know, that at their fingertips,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Phones and such.
I think one thing that helps with girls too is, you know, we tried in our family to help each of our kids have that one thing that they were good at, or that we really supported them in, that they wanted to pursue an interest in something. Now, obviously you can't pursue all the interests. There's not enough money and time in the world, you know, to support that. But, we tried to say, you know, you can have that one thing and we'll be cheering you on and so forth. And so, you know, whether it's a sports team or a musical interest or scouts or, you know, whatever their thing is, right? I think it's good for them to develop some self-confidence and to be, you know, to be out away from the family and to be learning. And so that's something I would encourage moms of girls to do, you know, just to be aware of what's your child good at, or where are their interests, and how can you help them develop that thing?
Yeah, I have one daughter who's very competitive, and she played soccer. She played hard, and she got, I forget the name, her coach called her. I want to say her coach called her a bulldog, but I don't know if it was, I think it was that. Just like she was the girl on the team. The other team didn't want to come in contact with her, you know, and she was ran cross country. And she also was an artist. And so she had just had a lot of different interests. And then the other daughter went the other way and she was a dancer. She also ran cross country. So they were both involved in sports that required something of them physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that made them tired at the end of the day, you know, because of running and dancing and sports, and yet also developed the fine art, whether it's dance or, you know, painting, drawing, and writing. And it just helps them to be well-rounded people and confident,
mm-hmm.
as well. You know? And because they're, and it gives them confidence around boys and girls, you know, and just growing up and finding their place in the world.
Right. Right. Yeah. I have a friend whose daughter is involved in something called teen court. And they actually like go to court and interact with judges and lawyers. And it's a special thing in their city where the teen, a juvenile, I'm probably going to mess this up, but a juvenile can actually choose to be tried in front of the teen court. And
oh.
They will, you know, at the with the judge there to be helping and so forth. I mean, it's not anything crazy weird, but so they get experience, you know. So for this particular young lady who may be, you know, wanting to go into the law and that kind of thing, you know, there's so many things out there these days, you know, for kids to get involved in. It's pretty neat. So I think it's just a matter of praying and asking God to show you what your child's gifts are, and also praying about the, how are we going to, you know, support this? Because obviously there are limits, right? I mean, my daughter took horse riding lessons for a season. We couldn't afford a horse. We couldn't even afford to lease a horse or lease horse barn space. And so obviously that really didn't go anywhere. And she had a year, I think 9 months or so, when she took horseback riding and was in a couple of horse competition things, you know, and so maybe she got it out of her system. I don't know.
I did horseback riding too. She worked at a barn. Even in college, she worked at a barn. So she got to ride and become a pretty good rider while working there. It was a really busy time for her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but that's good. Job, school, mm-hmm. know, extracurricular things, hobbies. I think it's really healthy to be doing a lot of things, or to, you know, to have the experience of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to prove yourself as, you know, not because it's a I'm better than you thing. Watch me, I can do all the things.
Or build not a resume or something.
On themselves, right. But just to develop themselves.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also important to remember with raising girls that we're, you know, I'm sure this applies to most of us listening to this. We're in a community, and generally that's a church community, maybe a homeschool community as well. And, you know, if there are those older women out there that might take an interest in your daughter and be willing to go have coffee with her or meet with her, you know, to tell moms, please, you know, promote those relationships and see how you can kind of nurture those. I know when we first started we changed churches at a pretty significant time in my kids' lives. Our oldest were like 14 and 16 when we changed churches after being at one place for a long time. And our associate pastor's wife took an interest in the three high school girls. There were only three of them. And because we were so small and just a church plant startup, and she had a little three-person Sunday school class and met with them and just, you know, poured herself into them. And it was precious to see that. And as a mom, there's nothing like seeing someone else take an interest in your daughter and knowing that that's another voice of truth and kindness and compassion into their lives. And so find those people, you know, find them, nurture them, and see how you can make that happen.
Yeah, my girls still have that, you know, like, so they're in their early 30s and they have, you know, a friend who's in her 40s, mm-hmm. you know, women who are just a little bit past where they are, who they can ask advice about parenting or relationships. It's invaluable.
Yeah, because I don't want to be the only person my child comes to for advice. I don't need to be the only person. They need to cultivate those relationships.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, I'm going to say have we exhausted everything? Did we get to everything on our list?
I think so. But I mean, we could expand on some of these things at another time, right?
Yeah. We had talked about, body image, helping girls navigate the whole growing up thing.
Oh, body image.
Which was a lot easier before Instagram and Facebook.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's so important for them to not be comparing themselves and to learn. And sometimes it's not till they're in their 30s that they just learn to accept and love the body that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to look the same as their best friend, or they're not going to look the same. You know, even here's so Serafina is 5 and Annie is 3 and they're sisters. Serafina has dark brown eyes, dark, curly, thick brown hair. Mm-hmm. It's stunningly beautiful hair. Annie, who's their sister, has much fairer skin, bright blue eyes. They're just bright blue eyes and very, very thin, very blonde hair. And Serafina said, "I wish I had hair like Annie." You know, and it starts when they're that young.
Yeah.
You know, we can all say, "Oh my goodness, your hair is so beautiful. And Annie, your hair is so beautiful. And your brown eyes are beautiful. And your blue eyes are beautiful." But you remember in Little House in the Big Woods, do you remember that story where Laura is jealous of Mary's blonde hair, mm-hmm. blue eyes, and it gets her in trouble. But it's just innate to who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Helping them navigate that and they just have to come to the place where they appreciate themselves for who they are and find those ways where they can, you know, groom themselves and take care of themselves. And, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, helping them and even in those teenage years, helping them to find the appropriate ways to use makeup. You know?
Yeah. And just to encourage them that it's not always going to be like this, right? Your skin is not always going to be fighting back with you, and the body in the mirror is not always going to look like this because you're not through growing and changing yet, right? And so,
it's a balance, though, you know, because on the one hand, you're saying, you know, oh, let, you know, let's go get a haircut, or every girl wants to be pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And then to not have them hear you say something that you're not saying, like, oh, you think I need a haircut. You don't think I'm pretty. You know what I mean? Like, right. There are
so it's complicated.
It's complicated. Or, you know, it's like the old thing of, what do you think I look like in this dress? You know, the joke between husbands and mm-hmm. wives. Well, it can be the same with mothers and daughters.
Right.
Like, and then you have to be able to say, well, it's not really as flattering as a different dress is. And then how do they hear you say that?
Right. Right. And yeah, that's where it gets complicated and tricky. You know, and you'll have some girls who love to go shopping for clothes and love to try things on. And you know, I mean, I've got a granddaughter that would take all the clothes out of all the drawers and just be happy to put outfits together, right? She's just got that flair, you know. And then her sister could care less. She would rather be in a room with a book. So then you mix, you know, a girl who doesn't want to shop with a, you know, you just got a firestorm waiting to happen sometimes, but they've got to wear clothes, and we want to help them navigate that with, you know, wearing things that are flattering and modest and
finding the styles that look good on you.
Right.
You know, and it doesn't have to be the styles that look good on your sister, and right. You have to be okay.
Be okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I really do think it's something that teenage girls grow into, just accepting who they are.
I know one thing that was really helpful to me was, and it took, I was probably 50 before I heard it, or 45 or something. I don't know, it wasn't that long ago. Because, you know, I'm one that struggles with shopping and finding the thing that looks good and trying to hide this part of your body or make this part look thinner and all of that. She said, it's not you, it's the clothes. It's the clothes' fault. It's not your fault. There's nothing wrong with you. You know, if this particular garment in size this doesn't fit and you have to go to this size instead, it's because it's just the way it's made. You know, the idea that we think there's something wrong with us. When I pull up a shirt with a number on it and the shirt doesn't immediately look good on me. And it's like, no. You know, even between manufacturers, there are differences, sizes and structure and standards. And so, but yet we think it's something wrong with us or that we're at fault somehow. No, you know, tell your girls, it's not you, it's the clothes. If they're making clothes that are cut this way and fit this way, and that's not the way God built your body, it's not your body's fault. It's the clothes that are not matching up. And so, you know, I had one daughter we took shopping who was super, super skinny for a long time and tall. And so, you know, to try to find clothes that were not too short on her and that wouldn't fall off her waist. Right. And then one of them went through a period where she was wearing a back brace for scoliosis. And that made her body shape really awkward and weird. And we had to shop in a whole different department at the department store that she did not want to go into, but you know, we had to have clothes that fit. And that's when you try to communicate to your child, I'm on your side, I'm on your team, this is hard. I know you don't want to do this. We'll try to make it as painless as possible, but it's where we are right now because we want your back to be straight.
Yeah, you know, and that line, it's where we are right now, that is so helpful for mothers,
mm-hmm.
you know, in all the different stages. You know, this is where we are right now, but you know, it's a stage, it's a season.
It's a season. That's so true. That's a good one.
And that's really helpful if you're struggling with a 13-year-old or, you know, a preteen who's having hormonal changes too early, you know, and, you know.
I think that's a good way we could wrap this up. It's the reminder that there are seasons and limits, but ultimately we want our girls to know that they are loved more than they will ever know by mom and dad and by their heavenly father. And that there's nothing they can do that could interfere with that. We may not always agree with their choices or their decisions, but they have.
And we might have to verbalize that and say, you know, this, what you're doing is not what we would want you to do, but we love you.
Right. Keeping the lines of communication open. And hopefully that love relationship is there undergirding all of that so that you do have the freedom to express those things. But ultimately, yeah, they are loved and cherished and special part of our family. So thank you all for listening and for being a part of our Dwell podcast. Again, let us know if you have any questions or any topics you'd like us to talk about. Come find us on Facebook or wherever else you want to find us. And Karen, I hope you have a good rest of your week. It was good catching up with you. And
yeah,
we'll see y'all next time. Here's to home.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.